congregation and you, but God in Christ. That, friends, is in essence captures the grace of salvation. Grace is one of the attributes of God. Verse 5, by grace. Verse 8, by grace. Verse 7, His grace. To know the God of grace, to know the grace of God. Do you grasp this? Have you grasped this? Meaning, are you personally acquainted with God's grace? What His grace is for a sinner like you and me. And maybe you have grown up in church. Ephesians 2 is but all too familiar to you. But has God's grace changed you? Redirect your life? Left it you transformed for all the days of your life? Because you have learned grace is a gift, an undeserved gift. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. An indispensable gift. Because you have learned by such grace we did not deserve anything, that God would look after you and me. And yet, in His mercy, in His great love, in His kindness, He gave His only Son, a costly gift, an oh so costly gift, this gift of grace. Indispensable, costly, and applied to you is life-changing and transformative. And therefore let us meditate tonight on these words, on this grace of salvation as we find it in Ephesians 2, the first 10 verses. And not only meditate, but that we may leave this place in wonder, a sense of wonder, all lost in wonder, lifted up in wonder, and you. But God, friends, that is the hope in Christ, He for me. Now we could look at this profound passage of scriptures as speaking to us as the past, the first 3 verses, or the present, verse 4 to 6, and the future, verse 7 to 10. Or in, say, in a reformed confessional point of view, we can speak as, like the Heidelberg Catechism do, as misery, the verses 1 to 3, deliverance, verse 4 to 9, and gratitude, verse 10. But this evening I want to reflect with you, not grammatically, past, present and future, not doctrinally, following the threefold structure of the Heidelberg Catechism, but meditate with the help of the Lord of a personal point of view. Because maybe you have noticed when we read this passage of Scripture, it addresses you, we. It shows us. In fact, it shows us 3 points. That we can be saved from, the verses 1 to 3, saved from death in trespasses and sin, saved by, the verses 4 to 9, by God in Christ, and saved for, in verse 10, for good works, that we should walk in them. So in the first place, this saved from. and you. That is each and every one of us here tonight, personally. And there could be things in our life that you don't want to be reminded of. Or things in your life that you thought they were behind. But then at times it comes to the fore and it reminds you of the past. But here in these verses 1 to 3, the Lord reminds us this evening through his word for you as a Christian. Remember, Christian, that is one who cannot miss the Lord anymore. That is you who seek your life outside yourself in Christ. I remember the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper. You who were dead in trespasses and sin. You who in times past you walked according to the world, according to Satan, according to the flesh. You who were by nature children of wrath, that is God's wrath. And if you are not a Christian this evening, that is living without Christ. Friends, there are only two ways. There are two people on earth. There are two kinds of people in Iowa. There are two kinds of people in Hull. If you are not a Christian, if you live without Christ, you are dead, spiritual dead. And you walk with worldly ideas and thoughts. And Satan has hold on you. You are under God's wrath. Even as others says the text, you are not better than anyone else. Remember, the Lord reminds the saints which are in Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 1, reminds the saints in Hull, or wherever you come from, reminds you were dead. Not sick, but dead. Kijk, moralism lets you believe you are sick. Kind of build up yourself. You have to work to get better. Maybe pious life. Do this, don't do that. Rules. And when you are sick, there can be degrees of sickness. And you need a doctor. And you follow the prescriptions. And you do everything in your power to contribute to restoring and improving your health. But the gospel reminds us tonight, you and me by nature are dead. Romans 3, no one sees God. Dead to God. There are no degrees of deadness. Thus there is no contribution from your and my side. You have to be raised from the dead. You have to be made alive. Dead, my friends, and maybe it is an old-fashioned term, but it is true, and it is the hope for us and our children. Dead, my friends, is a one-sided work of God, and nothing less. It is indispensable, the need of the radical grace. And you, that was dead stepping with false steps, that is trespass. Through this world, missing the mark, that is sin. A time in which you, or have you forgotten that you were without Christ? The text says, resident aliens, no citizens, foreigners, strangers, from the covenant of promises, no hope, without God in the world. And so you walked, according to the ideological ideas of the world, living worldly. And it can be very pious. But you are obsessed and captivated by the things of this world. And you know how you have walked in life. According, says the text, according to the prince of the power of the air, satanic forces, enslaved to sin, addiction, porno, otherwise, leading to disobedience. According, says the, to the lust of the flesh, being selfish, being full of yourself. And therefore, you, I, by nature, were children of wrath. Romans 3 tells us, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Friends, have you learned to be held accountable to God? That is, guilty before God. Actually, we increased our debt every day, your sin. Sinners before God. Have you grasped this? Do you remember? Having experienced not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands, could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all could never sin erase. Thou must save, save by grace, nothing in my hands I bring. Have you come to terms with debt in your life? And maybe it is a long time ago, but we are reminded this night, so that the grace, the gift of grace, Christ shines the brighter against this black background of sin and self. Do you see? Are you reminded of your need that grace is indispensable? And then to hear the gospel also this night. But God. Friends, I think when you have experienced that in your life, an eternity is needed to wonder out this amazing gospel, more than a church service tonight, but God, for such one as you are. Does this wonder of grace come afresh and anew this evening? Does this free gift of grace humbles you again? This life-changing gift of radical grace. And there are all kinds of gifts in this world. I mean, you have a telephone bill. Maybe a telephone bill on the table of $50, and a friend of yours comes in and picks up the bill and pays it for you. You will say, oh, thank you. That is nice. What an unexpected gift. But when you need a heart surgery for hundreds of thousands of dollars and you are poor and needy in a life and death situation and someone comes along and pays the entire bill, would you not fall on your knees and worship him or her in unending gratitude? A gift can be free, that is one thing. But a heart surgery giving your life is indispensable. But God... But God reminds us of being saved by. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God in his grace, in his rich mercy, in his great love, in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, wherewith he loved you and me, who were by nature children of wrath. Wherewith he loved you and me, guilty before God, loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were walked in times past, worldly and spiritually dead once, even then. He loved you. It is that time and you begin to realize. Maybe that there's a time of that first love that you cannot miss him. I said this morning that you know something of the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ that can be so mixed. That you ask yourself, who am I thus? How is it inside? Do you grasp, do you see this unfold anew for the first time before your eyes, or anew the riches of God's mercy, the greatness of his love, the gift of grace, the grace of salvation? Friends, that is your hope. That's your only hope and refuge and comfort in life, in the life of your children, parents, grandchildren if you have them. Even in times when you are discouraged about their walk in life, in times that you maybe wonder, where is God in all of this? Does he not hear my prayers? But this hope and comfort to be reminded this evening, but God, in his mercy, in his grace, in his love, it is he who has made us alive, says the text, verse 5, has quickened us. Coming to life. When it happens that reprioritize your life, you begin to think different, young people. You begin to act different. Not a stranger. Yeah, you are a stranger in this world, but you don't act strange. But you are not directed to yourself, being selfish, but directed to God. The desire is to become more Christ-like, experience, as the Catechism says, a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. Do you remember those times? A love and delight to love for God, being made alive from that. That is the wonder of grace. This evening to be reminded on. And what more, and that makes the wonder all the greater. Make us from death to life together with Christ. What we could not and cannot accomplish in ourselves, God provides for each of his children, his only and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave everything that he had, his Son, this unspeakable grace, grace, merciful gift, Christ, that name above all names by which we must be saved and can be saved and are saved by, from our deadness, from our trespasses, from our sins, from the wrath of God. Only in and through Christ we are saved and can be saved. That is the hope for this world. That is the hope for this church. That is the hope for your children and grandchildren. Your only hope and comfort. As the apostle reminds us in chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Then you begin to see the value of Christ's blood, that blood that cleanses you from all your sins. Have you taken refuge? The apostle said, the forgiveness of sin, forgiven and forgotten, for I, says the Lord, reminds us tonight with the words of Jeremiah 31, I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. No more. According to the riches of his grace. There's a contrast. That is a contrast with the accordings to the self and Satan and the world in verse 2 in our text chapter. According to the riches of his grace. Do you know something of that in your life, friends? Are you acquainted with that, young people? Saved from sin. Yeah, the old self is still there, and the old and the new, read the catechism. But in Christ, saved by God in Christ, this grace of salvation. And that is not only indispensable, but also costly. So costly, friends. This gift of love and righteousness, as one of the hymn writers says, scorned by the ones who came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Your sins, also those sins that you are struggling even now with, being made alive together with Christ, resurrected with him, raised and can be raised from your deadness and sin, by his power be raised to a new life. His resurrection becomes your resurrection. And friends, moral reformation comes by looking at rules and conforming to it. But a spiritual transformation comes by looking at Christ. Is he your refuge? Is he your strength? Is he your comfort? Can you not miss him anymore? Oh, standing and looking unto Jesus, meditating in awe and wonder of undeserved grace, mercy and forgiveness. Oh, what shall I say more? For the time should fail me. When this grace of salvation grasps you and holds you together with Christ, he made us sit together, says the apostle, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whereas the apostle states in chapter 1 verse 20, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ and set him in at his own right hand in heavenly places. So there's not only his resurrection, but also his session together with Christ in heaven. That is, your head is in heaven, though your feet is still on earth. But that is also at times. And look back in your life. That are those times that heaven comes down in your hearts. That even sometimes in the most challenging times in your life that you can say and testify, but whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Friends, when was it the last time? But God. Strength of my heart. My portion forever. That is the grace of salvation. And not only once, but it continues even now. But I hear one say, maybe in our midst, I was blind. And now I can see. That is the grace, that is his grace in my life. I cannot deny that. That Christ became precious to me. That God was so rich in his mercy to me. In his loving kindness to me. And yes, I had those times, that sincere sorrow of heart, when I grieved God by my sin, that desire to hate, to flee from sin, that mortification of the old life. But I'm at times so reminded of the old man. At times I'm so earthly, in the here and now. At times it is for the good that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And then to hear, sitting together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. True. But we are also reminded this evening, and I hope by God's grace lifted up in wonder, despite my struggle of the old and the new man, this anchor of the Christian life, your anchor by grace, is in Christ, who intercedes for each of his children, even now, in heaven. Praise, even now, that your faith fails not, together with him, the already, but not yet, now in the beginning, but one day, then forever, saved by God in Christ. And he showed his exceeding riches of his grace to you, despite whom you were and are before him, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Kindness, where we deserved wrath, but in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, united with Christ, union and communion. Meaning, not only all that is his has become and is mine by grace. Oh friends, this wonder of salvation, this wonder of grace, his righteousness, his holiness becomes my righteousness and holiness in him before God. But this union of Christ also means that all that is mine, my sins and my shortcomings, and my struggles, and my flaws, and my failings, becomes his, and became his, he who knew no sin. He has made him to be sin for us, so that we may be righteous, that we may made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, this holy exchange, he for me, where he was condemned to die. So we say with the words of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that we might be pardoned, that you might be freed from our sin, where he endured the suffering and death of the cross, so that you might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, that we may have life through him, where he has taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he may fill us with his blessing, where he humbled himself, was once forsaken by God, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you might forever be accepted by him, so that you are never forsaken by him. Do you begin to see what the apostle cries out? O depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. That is his costly, but oh so gracious and generous gift to such one as you are. It is not of yourself, not of any work, lest any man should boast. Verse 9, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Does that not give you joy? Leave you in wonder? Stand in amazement? Again, this wonderful joy, I do not belong to myself, but to my faithful, oh so faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Does that not humble you? And therefore, don't you have a love and delight to live according to the will of God? In all good works, as we say with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, or with the words of our text words, in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Kijk, friends. Moralism teaches you walk upright and you deserve salvation. But the gospel reminds us this evening, not only being saved from, being saved by, but also saved for a purpose. our third and last point. We are his work. And the original work points, we are his work of art in Christ. For this reason, unto good works, which Heidelberg Catechism says in Lord's Day 33, good works are only those which proceed from a true faith. That faith of verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith. The Catechism says, are performed according to the law of God, to do them out of gratitude, thanksgiving, not to return to the law, the works of the law. The apostle reminds us, did you begin in the spirit and now you return to perfect your life by the flesh? No, says the apostle in Galatians 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And therefore, his people have been saved for this purpose unto God's works, according to the law of God, and to his glory. Glory, that means, young people, that's the most weighty and most important things in your life. And what does then the Lord require of you concerning good works to his glory? Now, scripture is full of it. But I will remind you through the prophet Micah, as the Lord reminds us, to give but one example. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. For what reason? What is the purpose for which you are saved, if you cannot deny that? To do justly, because Christ took the judgment you and I deserve. Would you then not be a dispenser of justice, of that what is right? Would you not love mercy? Because by nature, those people are children of wrath, and yet for Christ's sake, God is so rich, so unspeakable rich in mercy. Should we therefore not love mercy? And then to walk humbly with your God. And for Christ's sake, who in his active obedience, where he was in a perfect obedience to the law of God, walked a life on earth that you and I should have lived. If you cannot deny this grace, this one-sided, this God-given grace in Christ, if you cannot deny that in your life, does then the Lord require, ask us too much to walk humbly in gratitude what Christ has done for you and still do with your God? Verse 10, in good works, that we should walk in them. Friends, if you cannot deny that grace in your life, is there an imitation of Christ in your life, having this mind among yourself in the congregation, in your community, which is in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant? Friends, is there an active servant Christ-like living found in our life? Serving those around you. But read carefully verse 10, the text. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained, that is passive, that we should walk in them, active. That is the tranquility in the Christian life. So a French Reformed pastor in the 19th century reminds us. Good works which God has before ordained, even that is a gift of grace. But to live out of Christ. What I mean, friends, is this. Have you grasped? Have you a certain understanding that Christ is a complete Savior? Not only he obtains salvation for his people, but also salvation, also the works of salvation for this purpose, working in us to do good works. They are prepared beforehand. It's the same word that the apostle is using in Romans 9. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy. Do you hear? That is what we are by need, by grace. Vessels of mercy. Vessels of his rich mercy. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. Remember? Hosea 33. Doing good works to his glory. You don't do it to receive applause or self-gratification, but serving for his glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And therefore that goes together in the Christian life, that we should walk in them. This is the way. Walk you in it, active for Christ's sake. As a commentator once wrote, and so, dear friend, take heed that you are fulfilling the purpose for which you received this new life. The purpose for which you received this new life. And let us all remember the order in which being and doing come. We must be good first, and then, only then, shall we do good. That is, we must have Christ for us first. He is our sacrifice, our substitute, our Savior, and our means of receiving that new life. And then Christ in us, the soul of our soul, the life of our life, the source of all goodness, and doing good. That is living out of Christ. Would you then not say, love so amazing, so divine, so infinite, so marvelous, so matchless grace, demands my soul, my life, my all. Wonderful, eh? Amazing, gracious gift. This gift of salvation, is it not? Saved from sin, saved by the Savior, and saved for service. And you, but God, in Christ and him alone, that, friends, is the grace of salvation. Amen.